Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And hallelujah indeed. Behzad Nabhavi, the chief Iranian negotiator, has just confirmed that the Algerian aircraft carrying the hostages have left Tehran, and so does Iran's Mehrabad airport tower, confirming the American hostages finally are on their way. Unless there is the most ultimate manipulation, it has finally happened.
The words of the great Peter Jennings, 40 years ago, Wednesday, this week, that the Americans who were held in Tehran were released by the Iranian hostages and finally headed back to American soil. Good afternoon. Rick Dayton with you on KDKA from 3 until 6. And joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline is Rocky Sickman. Rocky Sickman was a U.S. Marine who was in Iran and served 444 days in captivity. And it is my great honor and pleasure to welcome him to KDKA. Rocky, thank you so much for being here. And it is great to have an opportunity to meet you on the radio.
Rick, it's an honor to be with you and to talk to all your listeners out there.
So why Marine Corps? What was it about the Corps? Was it the dress blues? Was it the chance to go to Paris Island? Why was it that you wanted to be a Marine?
You know what? My parents taught me three things: love of family, love of faith, and love of country. My father served in the Army. My brother served in the Army of Vietnam. And, you know, I was a young kid graduating out of high school. I was captain my senior year. And I grew up in a small town of 50, and that was dogs and cats included. And I knew that there was more outside that country, and I wanted to serve. And one day I was looking at a magazine, and I saw this picture of a Marine in his dress blues. You are correct there. And I drove into Union, Missouri, and met with the recruiter in my dad's blue pickup Chevy truck. I'll never forget it. And I took that magazine in, and I said, I want to do this, but before I do that, I want to see the world. And it's 1975. I did the delay entry program. And sure enough, he goes, yeah, we can do that. And so did all the testing, came home that night and told my parents I was I joined the Marine Corps. And my dad didn't blame me at first. He had had my mom ask me again, and I told them. And so, but yeah, it was to serve my country just as my parents had served, my brother had served. And it was just an honor. I was a young kid growing up in a small Catholic community, raising that flag at the grade school, and then went to the high school and raised it there. And little did I realize that one day that flag would be burning in front of me in a foreign country.
How did you get to Iran? How did it transpire that once you were in the Corps and you went through boot camp, how did you end up in Iran?
You know, it was about 3 years later, I finally, after seeing the world, Rick, I saw the world. Incredible. And we are so fortunate. You know, when you travel the world, you come back and you say, there's no place like home. But I finally said, okay, I want to do what I came in to do, and that was Marine security guard. It was a very elite duty. You were paid by the Marine Corps, paid by the State Department. Went through my school. My first duty post was Tehran, Iran. I arrived October 7th, about 29 days prior to November 4th. And that night, there was a group of Marines. We had just landed that night. We had our sea bags. We had our three-piece suits on and our haircuts short. But we're carrying military sea bags. And so we are immediately, again, you have to understand, Rick, and I don't know if a lot of the listeners remember this story. Many of them maybe weren't even born, but sure. 1979, the Shah of Iran had fled the country and went into exile. And now it's 1979. He was allowed into the United States, and the Iranians were not happy. And so That night, coming into the airport, we were surrounded, stripped of all of our stuff in a bag, and eventually the embassy security came and got us and got us to the embassy, but a very different place, to say the least.
So when did you know you were in trouble? At what point did you realize with your buddies that you were in trouble?
You know what? Demonstrations were occurring every day. And I mean, again, from a small town of 50, and now you're in this huge country of Iran, and there were demonstrations daily of chanting death to America. And we had heard that the Shah had been left into the United States.
Right.
And we had alerted State Department. One of three things is going to happen. So sure enough, November 4th, 1979, I had just gotten off guard duty that morning. And I was walking into the motor pool gate. And Rick, did you ever see the movie Argo?
Yes.
Yeah, great movie. My son was in that movie. I got to speak to the cast of Argo.
Yeah.
I met Ben Affleck. And there was an individual that is really Sergeant Sickman in that movie.
Right.
I met him. He was Ryan Ahern, much better looking guy than me. but he played me, and I had no idea that there was a movie. But anyway, that morning, I will never forget, as I'm walking into the motor pool gate, and all of a sudden my walkie-talkie had recall. I turn around, look at the front gate, and anybody that's listening that's been overseas, and you go to an American embassy overseas, you got to cross through the local security. That morning, November 4th, I will never forget until I go to my grave. I will tell people that that morning there was no security at the front gate. They were coming over the gate. I mean, nobody was there to stop them. I ran back. I could run pretty fast back then. I ran back to the chancery, the main building, and Billy Gallegos saw me being chased, kept the door open long enough, and we secured it. And I'm proud to tell you, Rick, that about six to seven Marines that morning, there were a total of about 12, 13, but only six to seven made it into the chancery. Once you make it in, you have to secure the door. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. And we secure the door. We maintain that chancery for 3 to 4 hours, waiting for the host government to come. And that we knew something was not good. And they were banging at the front door, telephone poles, pounding, and the plaster was falling from around the door. And I radioed for security to assist. I didn't know how long that door was going to fall. And I'm a 22-year-old kid with a shotgun and a pistol, and I'm thinking, this is where my life's going to end. Billy calls down in the basement and says they've gotten in. I break away because the steps are right to my right. I break down and donning my gas mask. And in the Marine Corps, they teach you, you have no idea why you're doing all these things that they taught you in the Marine Corps.
It just comes back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming back when you need them. And all of a sudden, you get down there, and Billy points to the back, and sure enough, there's a bellow of smoke. And all of a sudden, we see about 3 to 4 Iranian women dressed in chadors, and they're being pushed by the Iranian men, Rick. They knew the mindset of the military that we would not shoot unarmed, innocent women. And about this time, we're being screamed at, don't fire, don't shoot, help is on the way. But they used Iranian women as shields. I mean, Iranian women had no support, nothing. They couldn't go to a soccer game in 1979, and here they were using them as the person to take the first shell. Well, tear gas finally broke. We secured ourselves to the very top of the embassy, and we waited until we were told to release ourselves and give ourselves up to get this resolved by diplomacy. It was going to take 18 hours before anybody could get to us to help us, because the host government, they were not coming to help.
Rocky Sickman, our guest here on KDK Radio, 444 days he was in Iran as an Iranian hostage. We need to take a quick break here, Rocky, but I want to continue right where we left off right there. And again, thank you so much for sharing this story. And boy, it is so great to know that you're home some 40 years later.
Some 30 minutes ago, the planes bearing our prisoners left Iranian airspace and are now free of Iran.
The words of President Ronald Reagan announcing the fact that the Americans were coming home after 444 days. Rocky Sickman joining us. He was one of those hostages in Iran for more than a year, taken hostage November 4th, 1979, and telling us about what that attack was like. Rocky, thank you very much again for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
How many people were coming after you? When you were there inside, you'd come through the motor pool, you were inside, you've got smoke inside, they're using women as shields. How many people were coming after you?
Well, at this point in time, they were coming through the corridor, but you looked outside. I could tell you the whole front of the chancery, I mean, more and more people, the gates were open and everybody was flocking into the American Embassy. So, like I said, once we were told to open that door, that's on November 4th, 1979, the Americans, we were stripped our freedom,
right,
our dignity and pride for the next 444 days. For the first 30 days, we were tied to a chair, not allowed to speak other than our interrogations, not allowed to speak to anybody. After that first Christmas, obviously that first Thanksgiving, I could tell you, and we could be here all day, Rick, and we don't have the time, but I can tell you, sitting in that chair, I relived my past when I sat there. Waking up in the morning, I could hear the traffic in this capital of Tehran, and it's 1979, and I'm sitting there thinking, the traffic, the world is going on without you. And I'm sitting there thinking, the Vietnam veterans, when they came home, they were spit on. Nobody cared about them. I'm 10,000 miles away from home. Little did I realize that the world was all reuniting to try to get us all home. But I'm sitting there thinking, just like the Vietnam veterans, people forgot about them. They're thinking we're forgetting that we're thinking that we're being forgotten. We spent that first Thanksgiving, the first Christmas. It's then April. They move us to a location. We only moved seven times. I went outside seven times out of 444 days, Rick. And that one night that they took us, April 25th, little did we know there was a rescue operation. I finally spent my second Thanksgiving, my second Christmas, and it was January 20th, like you said, and they came in. They had stripped our shoes from us and gave us plastic sandals. It was the night of January 20th, 1981. They came into our room and told us it's time to go. Every time you left the room, even if you had to go to the restroom, you had to knock on the door, and they blindfold you to take you to the restroom. That night, they blindfolded us, didn't handcuff us, didn't tie our hands. They took us from the room, turned left, walked down, opened another door, and we walked out into something I hadn't felt for 2 years. I walked out into snow. The snow was it was flowing through my toes. It was so cold, and the snow was hitting me in the face. They put us onto a vehicle, drove us off, all of a sudden made a right-hand turn, and you heard the sound of an airplane, something that you had cried for, you had prayed for, you would hope for a second chance, and all of a sudden we stop right behind the force of this jet pushing against us, and they tell us to unblindfold. And here you are looking at you, and maybe I had breakfast with you on November 4th, 1979.
You don't know what they look like anymore, do you?
I'm sorry?
You don't even realize what the other people look like anymore. It has been 444 days.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't know what's going on. And you look at the other person. Here I am looking at you, Rick. I had breakfast with you November 4th. It's now January 20th, 1981. And you're like in shock, and they start plucking us one by one, put us onto the airplane. They start closing the door, and you start turning around and say, whoa, Where's Dan? Where's Ben? Where's Larry? Where's Sally? Where's everybody else at? And they said, no, you're the last. We said, what are you talking about? And they said, the others were let go a year earlier. We had no idea that other people had been let go a year earlier.
Had gone home.
And
right.
They assured us that we were the last 52. And finally, the plane, Rick, we, you know, like I said, so much to talk about. It was $8.3 billion that they received for us to go home. And we didn't know that the synchronicity, it was the election. We get to the end of the runway, and all of a sudden the pilot, I mean, and nobody on this airplane at this point in time is happy, because you don't know if that plane's going to take off.
You don't know where you're going.
Yeah. So all of a sudden the pilot's got his foot on the brakes. It starts accelerating, starting to shake. I mean, being held hostage was like a bad car accident, but a different car accident each day. You don't forget this stuff. And all of a sudden, the engines come back down to an idle. And you're thinking, you know, they're messing with us one last time. The Islamic Republic of Iran, their intent, and they told us, it is not you, the American people, we hate. It's your government. But we will use you to humiliate your government. Right. And what did they do? They waited 20 minutes until the inauguration, waiting till Carter got out of office to stab him in the back and then to release us. We had no idea. It wasn't until then. Carter left, the lights came on, we took off, and we got into Turkish airspace, and the rest is history. And it was just one of those days that, you know, 2 days ago, November, January 20th, 40 years ago, 20 minutes later. It's my wife and I, my girlfriend, which if you've seen the movie Tom Hanks, he had that locket. I didn't have a locket of her, but I had my picture of her in my head. And right. she was that piece that I drove for 444 days. I said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get home. And so here we've been married for 40 wonderful years. And without her, I'd be in a ditch somewhere, Rick.
Rocky, it's supposed to be my job to have intelligent questions to ask. And I feel like we could talk for 4 hours and wouldn't be able to begin to understand what it is that you went through. Do you still have flashbacks to that time? Do you still think back to every day? Is it occasionally? How often?
No, it's every day. I mean, how do you not forget? And it's like I tell your listeners, anybody that's been out there and has gone through a traumatic time in your life, it's things that trigger it. It's a bad car accident, things that just come back. And, you know, like I said, thank goodness I have my good wife that helps me. And Billy Gallegos, a guy that I spent 400 days in a room with Billy Gallegos and Jerry Plotkin. And that was a room by the size of 15 by 20. I mean, you were with those people morning, noon, and night, and you told stories. And you probably told those stories not only once, five times, 10 times. I was exercising, doing 600 sit-ups, 300 push-ups, walking back and forth in the room just to keep yourself sane. And my mother, God love her, she was a very staunch Catholic, and she said, Rocky, when I left for boot camp, she goes, you make sure you go to church. Someday you're going to need God. And so here it was, 1970. She was so right. Yeah. I'd never prayed so hard in my life. And I could be here telling you so many different stories. You know, I know you just don't have time for it. But,
no, I've got time. The question is, do you have time to keep telling stories? Because we can keep you. Seriously, can you stay?
Y'all know, absolutely.
We're going to take a break. We've got some news. We are going to continue this, and I am so grateful for your willingness to do that, because I want to talk to you about Folds of Honor and a whole bunch of other things, too. But we do need to pause right now for traffic. So stand by. This is incredible, incredible stuff. AAA Traffic in the Fives, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Our guest, Rocky Siegman, an Iranian hostage for 444 days.
So long as the authorities in Tehran refuse to allow any neutral or outside observers an opportunity to see all prisoners, the possibilities of what may be happening to those prisoners is infinite. It is beyond my capacity to guess and beyond our capacity to know.
Harding Carter, who is a Department of State spokesperson back in 1978 into 1979 when the hostages were taken, with the announcement about what happened. Rocky Siegman, our guest on KDK, one of those Iranian hostages for 444 days, kind enough to continue our conversation here on KDK. He joins us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. And Rocky and I were talking during the news there and just sort of catching up on a whole bunch of other things. He has indeed, I can confirm, used his lifetime Major League Baseball pass countless times. He's a St. Louis guy. He likes the Cardinals. So Pittsburgh, please, let's give him a pass on that one, the fact that he loves the Cardinals so much. But I do love the line that Beano Cook ushered, though, about that. And when he said, haven't these poor people suffered enough? Why do they have to go to baseball games? But again, you know, for a baseball guy like you and me, Rocky, we understand why MLB Baseball did that for all of you. But again, just to get us caught up in terms of, you're back home 444 days later after being in Tehran. Marine Corps said you can do whatever you want. If you want to leave, you can leave the service. If you want to stay in, we'll send you where you want to go. But it was a young lady who said, no, your time is up. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. I had called her from Germany right when I got home, talking to my mom and dad. This is the first time I've talked to my loved ones for 444 days. And at this point in time, she said, Rocky, either me or the military, you got to make a choice. I said, what about the State Department? She goes, travel overseas? And I said, well, yeah. And she goes, no, me or the military. So I chose wisely, and the Marine Corps was very kind to me. And I'm once a Marine, always a Marine. I'm still involved in speaking to Marines. In fact, a couple of years ago, my son and I went to Cairo, Egypt. I spoke to the American embassy there. But, yes, I got out and went to work. I needed a place to go that supported the military, and that was Budweiser. And that's when I met Major Rooney at the time. And synchronicity has it. He was trying to form this organization of raising funds for families of fallen and disabled military. And I told them my story, and I tell you, every morning I wake up, Rick, I think about that rescue attempt in April 1980. 8 people lost their lives.
Right.
For me.
Right.
I mean, how do you not forget those 8 individuals? And that's why Folds of Honor, it's a therapy for me. Since 2007, 29,000 scholarships, 41% are minority recipients. Last year alone, $4,500, $22 million in regards to scholarships. But to me, it's a therapeutic piece to help each day, as opposed to thinking bad things. I'm here trying to drive dollars for these families that have families of fallen or disabled. And those individuals, they not only lost their life that night, they lost their family. And so freedom is not free, and we and your listeners should not ever forget that. The men and women that serve our country, first responders, all those individuals. I mean, it's just, we take it for granted. And COVID, you know, to me has been very easy because I wake up every morning, I can take a shower because for 444 days, I couldn't do that. I couldn't walk outside. I couldn't go get a glass of water. I mean, so when you have freedom and when it's taken away, you have no idea what it is until it has been. And when you get it back, and trust me, I got a second chance to live. And I think about it. I've got 3 wonderful children, 4 grandchildren, and my wonderful wife. She keeps me on the track. If I get off the track, she cracks that whip and brings me back on. So she was my icon.
I don't know that you probably got off track very often, Rocky Sickman joining us, a U.S. Marine who was held hostage in Iran for 444 days, talking to us about Folds of Honor and why he has been involved in that organization. It's been my great pleasure to serve a very small part in terms of helping to spread the word here in Western Pennsylvania. Rocky, how often do you keep in touch with some of the other guys? How often do you keep in touch with those who are with you in Iran?
So think about it. If you and Ben spent 400 days together, you know, how do you not, you know, during that time you have good times, you have bad times.
Sure.
But after it's all over, Billy and I, it's probably not every other day we talk to someone.
Do you really?
Absolutely. I mean, how can you not? I mean, he knows. I'm telling you a story and telling your listeners a story, but he knows. He knows the smells. He knows the sounds. In fact, this Soldiers Memorial here in St. Louis, they have an upcoming event, a Zoom next week. Many of the items I came home with, they have now in the Soldiers Memorial here in St. Louis. So they have the Zoom next week. Billy's going to be on the air along with myself, and we're going to talk about the coming home with a lot of these items. But, yeah, his daughter calls me Uncle Rocky.
Yeah.
And my children call Billy Uncle Billy.
Right.
It's just a friendship that, you know, you don't really go through like this. But, yeah, we'll be friends forever. And the others, it's hard because when you came home, I went right into the, you know, civilian part. You get right away active in, you know, in society, and you have children and everything else. But I'm sitting here as I sit on my desk. I got a picture of my 2 sisters there at Andrews Air Force Base 40 years ago, 2 days ago, that we landed. So in my office, I get the pictures of, you know, President Carter in my pajamas, President Reagan at the Oval Office. You know, I got the barf bag that the Algerian pilot wanted me to sign. And I said, well, you got to sign my barf bag. So, I mean, all these little items that just, you know, 40 years ago. But, yeah, the memories, it's something that the 444, as I was telling you earlier, not too long ago, I was having a bad day. And I'm just like everybody else. And I had to catch a 6:30 flight, and my day was going crazy, and I'm sitting there thinking what I have to do. I run into a convenience store. I get a banana breakfast bar and a water, and I go up to pay, and I owe $4.44. And
unreal.
I look at that number, and the people are going, hey, buddy, you're going to pay. And I'm just looking at that number saying, you know what, God, you're right. I would rather be here catching a 6:30 flight than being held in a foreign country, stripped nude with 3 rifles to the back of my head. I mean, going through something like that, it's like everything else is, it's nothing.
Secondary.
And so,
well, Rocky, God bless you, and God bless America for your willingness to share this story. And wow, what a great privilege it has been to have you here on KDKA. And I don't know what the excuse is going to be, but I got to get you back on the air again real soon, all right?
Well, we appreciate you guys supporting Folds of Honor.
Absolutely. Rocky Sickman with us, Iranian hostage, Marine, and now a part of Folds of Honor. I think that gives you an idea why I was real quick to sign up and say, yep, I'll do anything I can for Folds. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Great stuff. And again, we appreciate Rocky being here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.